microphones here.
And let's turn back to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 6. Hopefully everything is syncing together here, and we think we know what the problem is, so we'll make sure that that is corrected for Sunday. Computers, they can be your best friend or your worst enemy. And they can be both of those things in the same hour. It changes so fast, but we're glad for the ability to be able to live stream and just a blessing to be able to reach your homes and wherever you are in the world, really, to be able to live stream this message. We're looking at the seven laws of a harvest, the seven laws of harvest. And we looked at last week, we reap exactly what we sow. And we looked at the principle of sowing and reaping, that we reap after we sow. And it could be positive, it can be negative. And we're going to look at this second law of harvest, and it is we reap the same in kind. We reap the same in kind as we sow. Galatians chapter 6 is our text, Galatians 6. And then notice what the Bible says, verse number 7. The scripture says this. Let me move this microphone out of the way here for you. See, there we go. All right, here we go. Let's jump into this message now. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says, verse number 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, we're looking at the seven laws of harvest. And this is law number 2. And that is, we reap the same in kind as we sow. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your blessing. We're grateful for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at your truths to give us understanding. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to follow your direction for our life. And there's so many things, Lord, that are pulling for our attention. Lord, I pray you would help us to do what is right and what is good. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if anyone had told David before or even after his affair with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you told him that he was going to break every one of the laws of the second table of the law, he would probably deny it right away, or he would tell you something like this: you're crazy. You're crazy. But the laws of sowing and reaping, and this law in particular, we reap the same in kind as we sow, strongly stress our need to follow the biblical warning to take heed lest we fall. Now, before the incident was over, David coveted his neighbor's wife in 2 Samuel 11 verses 2 and 3. He committed adultery in 2 Samuel 11, 4. He committed murder in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 15. He stole in 2 Samuel 11, 4. And he bore false witness in chapter 11, verses 8 and 21. Now, David's downfall into sin, his downfall into sin posts a serious warning for every single Christian that is listening to this live stream here this evening. And that is, sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. And sin is deceptive and destructive. And we find this in the life of David. And yet, listen, friends, this was really just the tip of the iceberg. It was just the beginning, because each of these sins would be reaped within his own family. The reality is this law of harvest is something that we can't just know, but we have to understand in our hearts and be aware of the deceitfulness of sin every single day of our life. Now, I want to give you some thoughts from the Bible, and I hope you're following along, and I hope you're watching this live stream, because I just believe this will be a help to you. I really do. I mean, the only reason why we drive out here to an empty church and turn on a camera is so that we can be a help to you. And I just believe it'll be a blessing to you. Number one, I want us to consider, if you're taking notes, you have a piece of paper handy and a pen to write it down. I want you to write down number one, the foundation of the law. The foundation of the law, or this law of harvest. Now, God determined in creation that all things were to multiply after its kind. The Bible teaches us that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. And that's why we think of evolution. We think it's foolish that a fish could evolve into a monkey, and a monkey into a human, because God created this world that they would multiply after their own kind. We recognize this to be true in life, and you know, in biology and zoology, we understand this principle to be true. But this is not only true in the physical world, but the principle always it also carries through into the spiritual world. You see, Adam was created after the image of God, that he would reproduce that image from generation to generation. We're going to call this the principle of reproduction, all right? So Adam was created after the image of God, and that image would be reproduced from generation to generation, because he was created for fellowship with God and to walk in dependence on the Lord. Now, Adam would likewise reap the results of his actions. And you know the story in the Garden of Eden. He took of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he reaped the results. What are the results? Spiritual death in his own life, and then the life of his posterity, from generation after generation, would reap the consequence that was found in Adam's life that day in the Garden of Eden. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The Bible says, in Adam we all die. So we find the principle, the second law here of harvest, after its kind. Adam was created in the image of God, and it continued from generation to generation. And then Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and this consequence, this result of a sin, carried from generation to generation. Adam reaped spiritual death, or loss of fellowship with God, and he began to die physically. So we call this the principle of reproduction. But secondly, I want us to consider this, the principle of regeneration. You see, God had a plan, amen? And the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We read in the Bible, through the grace and the gift of spiritual regeneration, man gains the capacity to sow and reap spiritual fruit and reap the blessing of God in their life in this world. The Bible says in John chapter 3, if you could turn there in the Word of God, John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, verse 6. John chapter 3, and verse number 6. Look what the Scripture says. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is the law of reaping the same in kind as we sow. Because of this, the natural man can only sow and reap according to the flesh. The difference between a Christian, a born-again believer, and an unsaved individual is that that unsaved individual, the Bible calls him the natural man, he cannot please God. He cannot sow and reap spiritually. He is spiritually dead. His spirit has no pulse, no heartbeat, no life. And yet a born-again believer, they have spiritual life. They can sow to the Spirit. They can reap life everlasting. All right? In Christ, we become new spiritual creations, new creatures with the capacity to sow and reap of the Spirit of God. Now, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew. I want you to see this chapter, these verses here. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees, and this is probably one of the most confused passages of Scripture, one of them, at least in the Bible. He says in verse 32 of the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now, what he's talking here is about the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to Christ. Okay, the sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin of rejection of the Holy Spirit's work to bring us to a place of salvation. Remember, the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin, and He uses the Word of God to bring us to a place to put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus said here in this passage of Scripture, verse 33, He said, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit." All right, so the fruit comes from the tree. And if the tree is good, the fruit will be good. If the tree is corrupt, then the fruit will be corrupt. You cannot change the fruit, or you cannot work to change the fruit and hope that it changes the tree. I mean, if you've got a bitter tree, it's going to produce bitter fruit. I can't, duct tape some sweet fruit on there and hope it changes the tree. It doesn't work that way. This is what Jesus is saying here. He's talking about the principle of sowing and reaping. And he says here in verse number 34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How can you do anything to please me if the tree is evil?" That's what he's saying in this scripture. "For out of the abundance of the heart man speaketh, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Now think about this, all right? When you become a Christian, you are born of God. And you have a new nature within you. You have a nature, the nature that cannot do wrong. It is the very nature of God that is placed within us. The Bible calls it a divine nature. But you still have the old flesh. The old flesh can't do anything right. And now they're battling back and forth. But I'm here to tell you, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you have the opportunity to begin to sow spiritual seeds. If you don't know Christ as their Savior, there's only one harvest you can have, and that's a harvest of the flesh. You can't sow any type of seed. The reality is that all you can do is sow and reap after the flesh. If you're a Christian, then you can choose the Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit within you. If we sow in the flesh, we'll reap in the flesh. If we sow in the Spirit, we'll reap after the Spirit. This is the foundation of the law that we're talking about here. After its kind. Think about this. We are Christians. We are born of God. Number two, I want us to think not only of the foundation of this law, but I want us to think of the proclamation of this law. All right? Number two, the proclamation of this law. Now, first of all, I want to say that the principle as stated in Galatians 6, this law that is given to us, we reap what we sow, this is an absolute law. It is an absolute law. And Paul warns us not to be deceived concerning this truth. The thought here, to be deceived, it means to cause to wander, to be led astray, to be deceived. But this word literally means a great truth here. What Paul is saying here, be not deceived, is he's saying, stop allowing yourself to be deceived. In other words, the church at Galatia, these Christians, they were being deceived. And Paul is writing here that the verb sense, or the verb tense here, be not deceived, the thought is stop allowing yourself to be deceived. Stop allowing yourself to be led astray. Stop allowing this to happen in your life. Be not deceived. So obviously they didn't understand the principle of sowing and reaping because they were being deceived. They thought that they could sow to the flesh and reap to the Spirit. And he warns and reminds us that Satan has control or influence over this world system. He's the prince of the power of the air. And the very words of Satan to Eve in the Garden of Eden was this: "You shall surely not die." I mean, what was he trying to tell Eve? Eve, don't worry about it. You can sow. You're not going to reap the consequences of your actions. You know, as Christians, we are tempted. We are tempted all of the time. Let me say this. As Christians, we are constantly, throughout the day, tempted to sow to the flesh. You know, a lot of Christians, they live their life all week just sowing to the flesh. I mean, they just do whatever their flesh desires. They do whatever they want. And the whole week, they are just sowing to the flesh. And then they come to church on Sunday, and they pray to God for crop failure. The reality is the Bible teaches us that everything that's in the world, listen, John says, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. And so the world is constantly trying to pull us in to sow to the flesh, to sow to the flesh, to sow to the flesh. And Satan told Eve, listen, you're not going to reap what you sow. You don't have to worry about that. The Bible says here, be not deceived. Stop being deceived because God is not mocked. The thought there of mocked means to turn up the nose at, or to treat with contempt, or to ridicule. And here the Apostle Paul writes, here the Holy Spirit is the author, Paul the human penman, and here he says, here man cannot ignore or treat with contempt God's truth of reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping. That these are serious consequences, and here the Spirit of God is teaching us, stop being deceived. God is not mocked. Let me say this as we consider here the presentation of this law, that this is all inclusive. This is all inclusive. It applies to any and everything we sow. The Bible says, look at this, whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The words, that shall he also, makes the connection in kind to what is being sown. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. And since everything reproduces after its kind, the Bible says that God is not mocked. I mean, listen, we don't go out and sow peas and expect to grow watermelons. We don't expect to go and plant some tomatoes and get a crop of pumpkins. We don't expect that in our mind in the physical world. So why would we expect that to happen in the spiritual realm? If we sow discord, we're not going to produce unity. If we sow lies, you're not going to produce truth. If you sow sin, you're not going to produce holiness. The reality is, the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. There's the foundation of this law. There's the proclamation of this law. But I want us to consider, if we could, the designation in this law. Now, the Bible gives us a choice here. The Bible says, all right, you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose what you're going to sow in your life. And I think that we rush through life so much that we forget the exhortation in the Bible that teaches us that we are born of the Spirit. We should walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit in our life each and every day. Because there's only two choices on the shelf. You can please God, or you can please yourself. And that's the choices that we have each and every day. We can sow to the flesh, or we could sow to the Spirit. We could sow to the flesh. Remember, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, the only reaping and sowing you can do is to the flesh. You cannot please God. But as a Christian, we can walk after the Spirit of God. We can sow and please God to the Spirit. And so the Bible teaches us that we need to make that choice, that designation in our life. Hey, I'm going to please God. And there are times in our life where we'll come and areas of our life where we'll have to make that choice. Am I going to please myself, or am I going to walk in the Spirit? Am I going to say yes to me, or am I going to say yes to God? And so you've got to make that choice. And this is the designation in this law. But lastly, I want us to look at number four, the application in this law. Now, when we look at our text here in the book of Galatians, we go back to the sixth chapter, I want us to jump up just two verses. So instead of looking at what the Bible says here in verse 7, I want us to jump up to verse 5. The Bible says this in verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now we have two different applications in this passage of Scripture, and the context is sowing and reaping to the flesh or to the Spirit. Now first of all, we see the burden of sowing to the flesh. As we look at this context here, the Bible speaks here of bearing your own burdens, which I believe speaks of the consequences of sowing to the flesh. In fact, it's interesting, that word burden there in the Greek, the root word of that expression there, burden, it's an interesting word. It means invoice, or paying an invoice for a service. That's the thought. And the idea in this scripture is that every single person in their life, they have the choice. You have the choice to make your own decision. You can tell that lie. You can follow after the flesh. You can make your own choices in your life. But you cannot choose the consequences. And as you choose the direction of your life, the Bible says if you follow after the flesh, you can go as far as you want. But one day, the invoice is going to be due. And you're going to have to pay the burden. You're going to have to follow the consequence. And the Bible says here that every man must bear his own burden. When it comes to reaping and sowing, you go to a store, you purchase a product, you're expected to pay the invoice. You're expected to pay the bill. This is what the Bible says in this passage of Scripture. We enjoy the service, but it's going to require payment. And there is sin for a season. But listen, the invoice is going to come due one day. The consequences will come. You could tell the lie, but the lie is going to catch up to you. You could follow the flesh and the pleasures of your flesh, but it's going to catch up to you. And so the Bible says here that there's the burden of sowing in the flesh. But notice the blessing in sowing in the Spirit. Now, great application here. The Bible speaks here of sowing in the Word of God. In verse number 6, it says, let him that is taught in the Word, this is here, I believe, specifically speaking of the gospel, being taught in the gospel, be given the gospel here. And it says, let him communicate. And the thought here is, practically speaking, to be financially supporting the minister and the preacher of the Word of God is what the Bible says here. But I believe in even greater to that, as we think of sowing the seed of the Word of God and as a sower to the Spirit, I think we can understand that God speaks here of blessing of those that would follow after the Word of God, those who would follow after the Spirit, those that would do what is right and follow the influence of the Spirit in their life and sow after the Spirit. There's great blessing. And so we can compare the two in this application, the burden of sowing to the flesh and the blessing to sowing to the Spirit. So what does it mean for us today? It means that every decision that you make in your life, whether you realize it or not, you're going to start sowing seeds. And it's going to produce a burden, or it's going to produce a blessing. We make the choice to sow spiritual seeds, or we make the choice to sow after the flesh. And we need to remember tonight this second law of harvest. Real simple, real practical, that we will reap after the kind that we sow. Can't follow after our flesh and expect the blessing of God. It doesn't happen. Don't be deceived. Stop deceiving yourself, Paul says. God is not mocked. Now let's make this even more practical, can I? How can we as Christians sow to the Spirit? Well, I believe we can read our Bible. When we read our Bible, we're sowing to the Spirit. And when we allow the flesh to win in our life, you know, we hear stuff like, well, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I just don't have time to read the Bible. If you don't have time to read the Bible, you're too busy. You don't have time to sow spiritual seeds. Then you're just too busy in your life. We have a choice to make. We can read our Bible and we can be influenced by the Word of God, or we could, you know, binge watch Hollywood or television shows and we can start to be influenced by the world. And so subtle, you might not even know it's happening. But it's happening in your life as you start to think differently and you start to change your view on different things. Sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the flesh. You can spend time in prayer. Or you could spend time in gossip. You know, we have digital gossip now. It's called Facebook. We just, you know, same idea, right? See what everyone's doing? I don't want to pray for them. I just want to know what they're doing. Sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the flesh. We can offer grace to someone instead of grievance, instead of, you know, being upset and demanding our rights, or I can't believe he's done this to me, I'll show him. We could just offer grace, sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the flesh. I'll show him. He's not going to cut me off again. I'll show him. I'll give him a piece of my mind. Don't give anyone a piece of your mind. You don't got much to spare. The reality is that we could sow to the Spirit or to the flesh. We could follow the commandments of God, or we could go our own way, go our own pathway, do our own thing. Will we allow the Spirit of God to direct our life, or we decide that we know more than God, and we'll dictate our own pathway? If we pause and choose the Lord every single time, can you imagine God's blessing upon our life as we begin to reap a spiritual crop? But if we are going to let the flesh have preeminence in our life, then we are going to have to pay the invoice one day. The burden that we're going to have to bear all by ourselves. Oh yeah, it might have been fun when we were doing it. It might have been pleasurable when we were in the middle of it. But at the end, it only leaves a burden, an invoice, consequence. Because if we sow to the flesh, of the flesh, we will always reap corruption. God help us today to realize this simple principle. We will reap after the kind that we sow. God help us to make good decisions. I'm grateful that you're joining us on our live stream, and we do apologize for the hiccup that we had earlier. We did change the stream, and I believe, I pray that it helped it, and we will look at that for next Sunday. But let me just speak here about a couple of prayer requests, and then we will close our service in a word of prayer. Pray if we could for John, for the special needs in his life. So pray if we could for John. And then also if we could pray for Mrs. Martin, for God's protection on Mrs. Martin. I had the opportunity to